Today we're going to, I want to ask the question, do you need to be encouraged? Do you need to be encouraged? Now I don't know about you, but from time to time in my life, I need a little word of encouragement. No matter how much I go to church or how much I pray or how much I read or how well some things may be going for me in my life, there's always something that I need to be encouraged about. Amen? And I do believe that you can all relate to that, that at some point or time in your life, there's something going on that you need to be encouraged in. Amen? Now, as you all know, that there's always a spiritual principle that guides everything that I teach and preach. And for today's purpose, the spiritual principle that is guiding this lesson is the spiritual principle of agreement. And agreement is God's plan to crown our lives with peace. Agreement is God's plan to crown our lives with peace. If we want to be at peace in our life, we must agree with God and His Word. Amen? Now, agreement is also God's plan for us to be at oneness with His will. Now, we all have hopes, dreams, and aspirations, but God has a plan for our life. And God's plan for our life far exceeds our wildest dreams and imaginations. But in order for us to be at oneness with His plan, with His purpose, and His will for our life, we must agree with Him. When we agree with God and His plan, His purpose, and His will for our life is so far greater, and we accomplish so much more, again, than we can ever think or imagine if we just agree with God. Now, the purpose of agreement is that it is a communication, decision-making, and problem-solving principle. We need to learn how to communicate God's way. We need to learn how to make decisions God's way. And we need to learn how to solve problems God's way. I don't know about you, but every time I try to do something in and of my own strength, I always, no matter how smart I think I am, how organized, how structured, I can have it all lined out, but it just doesn't seem to turn out the way that I thought it would. But when I do things God's way, I always end up with a big smile on my face and everything just seems to work itself out. Now, I don't know if you've experienced things like that in your life, but if we do it God's way, if we just agree with God, if we communicate the way God wants us to communicate, things just work out better. If we make decisions the way that God tells us to make decisions, things just seem to work out. If we solve problems the way that God tells us in His Word to solve our problems, everything just seems to work out. Now, the objective of agreement is how to rest in God. Regardless of what's going on in your life, there's no better place to be than in the hands of a truly living and a loving God, to just be at peace, to rest in Him. Regardless of how chaotic things may be, to just rest in Him, because He told us that He would never leave us and He would never forsake us. So we just need to learn to rest in God. Amen? And then the goal of agreement is to achieve the peace that Jesus promised. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, not the peace of the world." Because the world doesn't have any peace for us. The world only knows about happiness. See, the world doesn't understand peace and joy. The world talks about happiness, and our happiness fluctuates based on circumstances and situations and what people say and how people treat us and how much money we have and what kind of car we drive and where we live. Happiness is based on all of these worldly things. But peace, only God can give us peace. And the peace that He gives us, We're resting in that regardless of what we have and regardless of what we have not, because we know that Jesus is in control. Amen? Amen. Now, again, today we're going to talk about, do you need to be encouraged? Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, Old Testament, right after Ezra. Nehemiah, the second chapter. Now, Nehemiah had went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, to help rebuild the walls of the city. And, you know, the walls were important because the walls were for protection. And, you know, you look at, you know, when you hear, you know, when you look at stories of medieval times and even biblical times in the great cities, they had walls. That was to protect them from their enemies. And we all have walls in our lives, if you would, to protect us from our enemies. Now, the question is how strong is our wall? Do our walls have breaches in them? Are our walls fortified and strong enough to keep the enemy from entering in? Nehemiah, second chapter, I'm going to read verse 17 and 18. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in. First of all, Nehemiah wasn't even there when all of this happened, but Nehemiah didn't forget where he came from. And too many times, too many of us forget where God brought us from. And we lose contact and focus on those people that are in the same circumstance and situation that God brought us out of, because they need our help. They need our encouragement. You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us arise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Turn with me to Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, verses 19 and 20. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated on the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. What Nehemiah is saying in both of these passages here, first of all, Nehemiah remembered where he came from. And when he went back to help, Nehemiah didn't say, you all need to. Look at what you've done. Look at where you're at. Nehemiah said, look at our city. Look at what's happened to us. Look at the condition that our wall is in. And then Nehemiah began to encourage them, saying, the Lord has sent me, and I've come with help. The Lord has sent me with some instruction and some counsel. I've brought some resources to help us get started. Now all I need is for you to join me so that we can rebuild the walls of the city, so that we can be protected from those that would want to destroy us. And then in the fourth chapter, Nehemiah, you know, it wasn't just about the laborer or the poor people. Nehemiah addressed everyone, even the nobles, and said, this is a great work, and it's going to take all of us working together in order to get the job done. takes everybody working together in order to get the job done. We've got to work as one. And because sometimes there may be few of us, we might be spread out. We're working on the same thing, but sometimes we get spread out. But if I feel that while I'm working over here, that there's going to be an attack on this part of the wall in the city or my life, and I'm not strong enough or I haven't fortified the wall enough to handle that attack, then I'm going to holler out. And that means for you to come and help. That means that I need you to come over to where I am. Gather around me, strengthen me up, encourage me. Help me strengthen up my part of the wall. Because if I don't make it, you don't make it. If I fall, then there's a threat to you. The wall is only as strong as the weakest link. Our church is only as strong as the weakest individual. Our family of believers, we're only as strong as the weakest individual. That's why it's so important that we encourage one another. That's why it's so important that when we find a brother or sister in need, that we rally to their aid so that we can help them in their time of need. Are you with me? We all need to be encouraged from time to time. I don't care how tall your wall is. I don't care how thick and fortified you think it is. All of us have problems and things that we're dealing with in our life. All of us are weak in some area of our life. And we all need help. We all need encouragement. Couples, husbands and wives, we always need encouragement. Marriage is something that takes work day in and day out. Day in and day out, we need to work on our marriage relationships. Every single day. And we always need encouragement in that relationship, in that area. Do you not know that the rate of divorce in the church is just as high as the rate of divorce in the world? And that should not be. That should not be. And there are a lot of things that attribute to that. But if we as husbands and wives took a little more responsibility on our own and understood that I entered into this relationship before God, and it's not something that I can take lightly, and that regardless of what comes and regardless of what goes, both of us are imperfect human beings. Both of us. The husband's imperfect, and so is the wife. Neither one of us does everything right all the time. Neither one of us knows all the answers. So we need to learn to love one another and forgive one another, set our love above it. But we need encouragement. As Christians, we need encouragement. I don't care how much of the word we know and how strong we think we are, we need encouragement as Christians, as children of God. Things come up, things happen. And Satan knows our weakest points. And that's exactly where he's going to try us at. He doesn't come to us in those areas where we're strong and we don't fall anymore, those areas where we've overcome. He's going to come at us in those areas where we're weak, that we have struggled with over the years. That's where he's going to come. So we need to know that. We need to expect it, because it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. Because he's going to come and he's going to try us and he's going to tempt us. And sometimes we're able to withstand and sometimes we're not. And when we're weak, when we need to be encouraged, we need to blow the trumpet so that our brothers and sisters can come and fortify us and build us up and strengthen us and encourage us in those areas where we're weak. Now, how can we get encouragement? Turn with me to Joshua, the 24th chapter. How can we get encouragement? Joshua, the 24th chapter. Joshua, the 24th chapter.
What page?
231.
Joshua, the 24th chapter. And basically what Joshua is doing here is he's encouraging the people. Starting at verse 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel. He called for the elders and their heads and the judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus said the Lord God of Israel. And then what Joshua does is he begins to encourage them. As you read through this chapter from verse 1 to verse 24, just about every verse, Joshua starts off saying, and for instance, verse 4. Or verse 3, he says, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through the land of Canaan. Verse 4, he says, I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. Verse 5, I sent Moses also and Aaron. What Joshua is doing is reminding the children of Israel of all of the things that God had done for them up until this point in time. That whole chapter, just about every verse, Joshua is putting them in remembrance of just how good God has been. The faithfulness of God. Joshua called the people together to give them some words of encouragement and instruction that they needed so that they could continue to move forward. That whole chapter, he's just giving them a word of encouragement by reminding them, by putting them in remembrance of all of the things that God had done for them. Think about your life, where you're at right now, and think about where you were 5 years, 10 years ago. It may have only been 2 months or 3 months ago, a year ago. What's God done for you? Where has God brought you from? Are you thinking? Do you have something in your mind about what the mess that your life was in and how God delivered you? Or how God delivered someone in your family or someone in your church? The stories of faithfulness, that's why we have the time for praise reports and testimonies, so we can begin to build these images in our mind of God's faithfulness, not only in our lives, but in the lives of a multitude of people. Because a time is going to come in our life where we're going to need to reflect on the faithfulness of God. We're going to need to remember where God brought me from, or what he brought me out of, or what he brought someone else out of. And what God did for them, he can do for me. And the song that I came to my remembrance was, He'll Do It Again. And the words say, just take a look where you are now and where you have been. Hasn't he always come through? He's the same now and then. And you may not know how, you may not know when, but he will do it again. But that takes us back to our spiritual principle. We've got to agree with God. And God is faithful. God is just. And he'll do it again. He'll bring us out. Point number two, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. But we've got to remember of God's faithfulness in our past. First Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse number 7, and it reads, therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. We can be encouraged not only by God's faithfulness in the past, but we can be encouraged by the example of others. What Paul and his group is saying here is that they were encouraged by the church at Thessalonica because of the reports that Paul had gotten back. He was encouraged because of what they were doing. because of the example that they were setting. I think of many of you cancer patients, but there's one that I think of expressly. Years and years and years ago, a young lady with two small children diagnosed with cancer. And as she began to go through the treatment and the process with two small children, because her husband couldn't take it, he left her. In the middle of a fight for her life with two small children. But never once did she complain. Never once did she lose hope. Never once did she think that I'm not going to make this and this is too much. Why? Because she agreed with God's word. And I tell you on a regular basis, we're here to encourage you and build you up and fortify you, but you have no idea how much you encourage me, how much you encourage this staff here, because we see your fortitude. We see you not giving up, and you are an encouragement to us. We may not be fighting cancer, but we're fighting other battles in our life. And to see you stand up and fight gives us encouragement to fight those battles that we face. You're an example. During times of pressure, we need to encourage one another. We need to encourage one another. Also, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. We gain encouragement also by the words of others. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another. We need to lift one another up. We gain encouragement by the words of others. All of us were watching the Olympics and the Winter Olympics, and if you watched enough of it, you would hear them, the announcers say it at certain points that these athletes are about to hit the wall or have hit the wall. Have you ever heard that terminology? Hitting the wall has something to do with, you know, when you hit that wall, it's like all of your energy is drained out of you and you feel like you can't take one more step, that you can't pick up your skate one more time, or you don't have the energy in your arms to give you one more push with your ski poles. Now, I can relate to that. As a graduate of ORU, we had to take, and Tina can relate to this as a student, we had to take field ed every semester at ORU. Every semester, we have to take field ed, and that's exercise and classes and things of that nature. But also, one of the requirements is that you have to run a 3-mile run that you have to do every semester that's a part of that class. And I can remember running that 3-mile, what do they call it, Tina?
The fun run.
The fun run. Yeah, a lot of fun it is, okay? But I can remember times doing the fun run. And I can remember hitting the wall. I can remember hitting the wall. And I feel like, my God, I just can't go anymore. I just want to stop. I just want to sit down on the sideline on the curb because my chest hurts, my leg hurts, my eyes hurt, my ear, everything hurts. And I just want to stop. But you know what happens? All of my classmates and all of the other students that had already finished the race, you know what they do? When they finish, they come back and they start lining up on both sides. And for everybody that's coming along, you know what they're doing? They're saying, don't stop. You can do this. Keep going. Don't give up. You can win. You can finish. Don't stop now. That encouragement that I needed for that last quarter mile, they knew that I needed that, so they came back to give it to me. That's when those classmates, my friends, were so vital and so much of an encouragement to me to finish just that one race in my life. Their encouragement helped me to push through the pain. And that's what others are going to do for us and what we need to do for others. We need to help one another push through the pain, to push through the discomfort,
to push through the trials and the tribulations, to push through all of the times in our life when we want to stop and when we want to quit and when we want to give up. We must encourage one another in the same way. A word of encouragement offered at the right moment can be the very difference from finishing and quitting. The word of encouragement at the right moment can be the very difference between whether a person is able to finish in victory or collapse in defeat. And not only do we need it, but we need to offer it to others. Look around you. Be sensitive to the needs of others. Encourage them and support them, not only in our words, but in our actions. Turn with me. My last scripture is 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, first chapter. First Peter, the first chapter, I'm going to read verses 6 and 7, and it says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Finally, we are encouraged when we reflect on our eternal hope in Christ. Our eternal hope in Christ. What He has already done for us. Jesus is the one who's finished the race, and He's come back in many forms to encourage us and let us know you're not by yourself. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't stop. You can do this. You can finish. Jesus Himself. Peter's words offer joy and hope in times of trouble. And it's all based on what God has already done for us through Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with who we are or what we can accomplish on our own. It's all based on who Jesus is and what He's already done for us. The battle's already won. We're already victorious. We just need to finish the race. We're already winners. We just need to finish the race. The gold medal is already ours. We just need to finish the race. We just need to finish the race. And we need to encourage one another. We need to lift one another up. We need to cheer one another along, that no matter how bad it looks, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how much it hurts, don't stop, don't give up, don't give in. You can do this. You can beat it. You can finish this race. You can finish this race. We have a living hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And eternal life begins when we accept Him. And no matter what pain or trial we face in this realm, it is not our final experience. Regardless of how gloomy it seems, regardless of what the outcome seems like it's going to be, regardless of how bad it seems, regardless of what they say, that's not our final outcome. But we can't quit. We can't give in. We cannot sit down on the sideline. We have to push through. We have to finish the race. Amen? Do you need to be encouraged? In Jesus' name, my time is up. I thank you for yours. Father, we come. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love.